Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we have your word. And we thank you for the awesomeness of your word and who you are and what you've done for us. And we just want to praise you for your grace and for your mercy. You have rescued us from darkness. You have assured us that because of what you have done, we have eternal life with you. Eternal life, we can't even comprehend that, but that is forever. And as we read, the light afflictions are but for a moment here on this 100 years or however long we're here on earth. It's just nothing compared to eternity. So Lord, we want to be thankful and grateful to you, and we want to hear from you this morning as you would speak to us through another prayer in the Bible. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to just begin by praising the Lord. We're going to be talking about complaining today. I think that's a subject that none of you have ever had any familiarity with, but this message is for me, so I'm going to give it to you anyway. But we are in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1, 2, 3, and we've already had four recorded events in Exodus of the people complaining, and now this is the first of seven or eight recorded events in the book of Numbers. And so we see the tendency for the people to complain. And so we'll also see what the Lord thinks about that. And I think that we'll just have a better and better awareness of his awesomeness, and we should be thankful and grateful rather than complaining. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 11. And a couple of questions as we get into today's study. How thankful are you? And if you would really have a scale, and you would put all of the minutes or hours spent in complaining on one side, and all of the praises and thanksgiving to the Lord on the other side, how would your scale look? We see the children of Israel here have just had this great prayer that we had last week, where Moses would say, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." When the group would move out, and when they came back, when it rested, the prayer was, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." Now, they've just completed their very first basic journey where they were all laid out in accordance with the 12 tribes, just the way it was supposed to be, the way it was prescribed. And they've gone a three-day march. And if you look at your notes, I had a little trouble finding a map with Taberah on it, but this one it has Taberah on it, so we'll assume it's okay. Nobody really knows exactly where these places are. But if you look at the the center left side there, you see they would come out of the Succoth and into Pahiroth, where they crossed the Red Sea, and then they were at Merah, where the bitter waters was. That's the first time we have a recorded complaint from them. And then when they got down to the wilderness of Sin between Elam and Dophka, they had two recorded complaints. And then they came on down to Rephidim, and they had another recorded complaint because of no water, and that's where Moses struck the rock and water gushed forth. Then at the bottom of this is Mount Sinai. So they've just had the law being given to them, and now we had, last week, we had where they made their journey to Taberah, and it's only estimated about 8 miles. So it's not like they have walked forever. They walked about 8 miles. Of course, in that heat and all, that's a long way. But, you know, they're on their way to the promised land, and the Lord has delivered them. The Lord has given them everything they need. And yet, we see these words in chapter 11, verse 1, now. There's actually four nows in this chapter, but we don't know exactly the difference in time between verse 36 of chapter 10 and verse 11 of chapter 1. But Moses has just given him that prayer and says, "Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused." So there's the first thing that I think we want to remember. Even if your complaint is not verbally allowed, the Lord knows it, right? And apparently Moses didn't hear this, or this was not given to him. In many cases, it says they complained to Moses and Aaron. It doesn't say this. It just says they complained, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused, so the fire of the Lord burned among them. Why is complaining so displeasing to the Lord? Well, maybe a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is that basically there's a big element of complaining that's coming against God. You're saying, God, I don't like the way you're treating me. I don't like the hand I've been dealt. If you really loved me and really had the best in mind for me, you wouldn't be having me where I am right now. Any of you ever feel that? I mean, some people live their whole life in a complaining mode and are just bitter, and are just bitter. But you know, whatever you have in your life, the Lord is allowing, if not directly outright giving it to you. And how many times do you look back and you see those impossible situations that you just couldn't wait to get out of, and then you can look back and see how the Lord used that so beautifully. I think he will use every situation you're in that way if you will allow to be used by him in some way. And your idea is not how bad are things are, but what has he got me here for? And do you think he wants us as believers to always be with other believers where no problems and everything is just fine? That's what we want, right? But that's not accomplishing probably what he wants. He wants us to be salt and light. What good is salt unless there's a corruption around? There's plenty of corruption around. So when we get into corruption surroundings, we don't like it. I don't like all these hard-hearted unbelievers saying all these bad things about the Lord. I don't like that. Well, I don't think the Lord likes it either, but why are we there? We're to be salt and we're to be light, right? And we're the only source, in some cases, that these people will have to the gospel. They won't see any other gospel other than our lives. They aren't going to come to church. They aren't going to listen to a message necessarily, but they'll see you and they'll see your love through you. So we see when we complain then, we're basically telling the Lord he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not giving us the best. And if I were God, I would get rid of this thorn in my flesh right now. So we don't want to displease him through complaining. And so now the Lord is going to chastise his people whom displease him for their sin. He's going to do something about it. The Lord will always chastise those he loves. And so his chastisement here is fire. So in the end of verse 1, it says, so the fire of the Lord. This is the fire of the Lord. We've had a few fires here. I don't know if they're of the Lord or not. But the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. So fire breaks out in the camp, and particularly on the outskirts, people are being consumed. Now, predictably, the people cry out. Verse 2, then the people cry out to Moses. Moses, Moses, help us. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Amazing, isn't it, that it almost seems like the Lord is waiting for somebody to intercede. And as soon as that intercession is made, he immediately relents with his mercy and his grace, and the fire is quenched. Verse 3, so Moses called the name of the place Taberah, which means burning. He called the name of the place burning because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. We will stop there for today, and next week we'll continue on because now we have another set of complaints coming up. And if you look at these places on the map here, you can get some kind of an idea of just where these places might be. At least it puts into, these are at least in order as you look at this. We know that much. We don't know exactly how far it is between one and another. And some people even don't even think Mount Sinai is in that Sinai Peninsula. They think it's over in Arabia on the other side where the camel is. And it could be. We don't know because we haven't found anybody who's old enough who was there. But we're told in the Bible all we need to know about it. So as we look at this, another thing keep in mind, when you complain, it is very contagious. When you're in a group and you start to complain, then boom, everybody starts to complain, right? And so the next time we'll get in where they wanted meat, and it's like, you know, if we're in a group and we haven't eaten in the last 5 minutes, and you say, I'm starving to death, when are we going to get a In-N-Out burger or whatever it is, you know, and then pretty soon everybody's starving to death, right? They all want, you know. So complaints are contagious, so we need to guard against that, and we also need to be guard against being pulled into complaints. when they're all around us, because it's awfully easy just to join in, because we can always think of something to complain about, right? But that's displeasing to the Lord. So may we remember, when we are thinking about complaining or even finding ourselves complaining, that it displeases the Lord and is therefore sin, and we want to not be doing that. And we really want to replace that with praise and thanksgiving for what He has done for us. Because when you start to think of what He's done for us, I mean, that is over the top, isn't it? You can't even envision what He's done for us by giving us eternal life with Him forever. I mean, unbelievable. So Paul talks about the light afflictions of the moment. And you say, well, I don't know, light afflictions of the moment. I've been in this affliction for years and years. Well, compared to eternity, it's for a moment. Even if it's 99 years, it's for a moment compared to eternity. So we want to just praise Him and honor Him. And even as Moses would intercede for those in the fire, we want to intercede today, and particularly intercede for those who are lost, for the church, for the nations, for the kings and those in authority, for our government, and for other needs that the Spirit would put on our heart. So we'll pray in a group for a little while, and then we'll break into groups of two and continue to pray. So let's pray now.